Foundations are of the greatest importance. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms 11, verse 3. God deliberately has founded the world upon the seas and floods, so that no individual can find security and permanence of position apart from himself. Therefore, the righteous spend their days seeking that which is eternal and unshakable. For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, verse 10. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hebrews 12, verse 27. The wall of the New Jerusalem is not founded upon the sand. The wall is built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. When Christ is dwelling in people, they do that which he commands. They keep his word. It is the keeping of the word of Christ by means of the life of Christ working within us, which is the house constructed upon the rock. That which Christ creates within us and through us is eternal. It will stand throughout the divine shaking. All else will totter and be removed. Never again will sin and rebellion be able to enter the universe. The resistance to sin and rebellion is being built upon the creation of Christ within human beings. This is the kingdom of God. No doubt the names of the apostles in the 12 foundations of the wall represent all of us to whom the apostles have ministered, in whom they have established Christ. They represent us just as the captain of a ship represents the ship and all who serve on the ship. The apostles and prophets are divinely anointed humans, and they represent and reflect all of us. The varied sparkling colors which radiate from the foundations of the wall indicate the virtues which have been wrought in the personalities of the saints as they have been subjected to the enormous pressures and heat of life upon the earth. Jasper may refer to green quartz. The wall against sin being created within the saint is as hard as it is beautiful in God's sight. Quartz is not a material which yields when pressured, as does rubber. Many believers in Jesus Christ are made of rubber when it comes to resisting sin. Green suggests life, particularly life on the planet Earth. One of the marks of a true saint is his humanness. Religion is an adornment which people put on themselves in the hopes that they will make a good impression upon God. But such efforts are disgusting to God. Divine redemption perfects our humanity as well as our divinity. Jesus Christ is a perfect man as well as perfect God. We are being conformed to his image. Saints are real people, not priests of Babylon. Sapphire, it is believed, refers to lapis lazuli. Lapis lazuli is an azure blue stone. Blue symbolizes heaven. Every true saint has the touch of heaven upon his life. The Jew was commanded to put a riband of blue on the fringe of the border of his garments. Perhaps when the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she touched that riband of blue. She touched the life of heaven. Numbers 15, verse 38. Christians are not identified by doctrinal belief. Every true Christian knows another true Christian by the touch of heaven upon that one's life. Divisions among the members of the body of Christ are caused by Satan playing upon our carnal nature. We have so many pains, problems, and woes in this life. But then we touch heaven and are lifted up above the shadows. This must happen to us often, or else we begin to go down under the weight of darkness, which always is pressing upon us. We are about dead, and then the life of heaven, of Christ, touches us, and we are made new and gloriously alive. The sun rises upon the horizon of a new day. Sin and sickness disappear, and we know that the Lord is in control. We know also that paradise is just over the next hill, and that soon we will be released from this prison. Truly we would have fainted, but then the goodness of the Lord is given to us while we yet are in the land of the living. Green and blue. Green is the color of earth. We expect to find grass and trees in paradise. Blue is the color of heaven. We expect to find the life of God in paradise, the presence of that which is spiritual and eternal. The kingdom of God is the eternal blend of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is perfect God and perfect man. When people go astray from the true kingdom of God, it is because they begin to overemphasize either heaven or earth. They become either too spiritual or too fleshly. Satan always is pushing us to become too spiritual or else to give ourselves over to the lusts of the flesh. Jesus Christ always makes us perfectly heavenly and perfectly earthly. Satan always makes us too heavenly and too earthly. Either extreme is of Satan. Christ always remains perfectly in balance. One of the greatest errors in Christian thinking today, and it probably was derived from the religions of the East, is the notion that this world is evil, and that redemption consists of our being removed to another world, heaven. Wouldn't Satan love to inherit the earth while the saints inherited heaven? The wicked angels of their own volition left heaven, their first estate, and invaded the earth. The kingdom of God is not heaven. The kingdom of God is the eternal union of heaven and earth. The kingdom of God is coming to the earth to be married to the earth, so to speak. Then the earth will live, having been set free from the corruption of sin and death. In Jesus Christ, heaven comes to earth. The green is in the heart of people. They expect to see trees and grass in paradise. How would you like to dwell eternally in a paradise in which there was gold dust in place of ground, rubies in place of grass, molten silver in place of water, statues of platinum in place of trees, large pearls in place of mountains? No grass, no trees, no mountains, no valleys, no flowers, no animals. This is paradise? Religion always is unnatural and distorted, alien to the true feelings of people. Divine redemption always is natural and harmonious, expressive and fulfilling of the true feelings and desires of human beings. The goal of the Christian life is not heaven. The goal of the Christian life is the New Jerusalem, that is, the rule of heaven over the earth. Chalcedony also is thought to refer to a green stone, and may have been a translucent quartz. The emerald is bright green, transparent beryl. Beryl is very hard. Sardonyx refers to a form of agate, having layers of brown and white. Perhaps the brown symbolizes the earth, and the white is the righteousness which comes to earth from heaven. Agate is a variety of quartz. The sardius is a red form of quartz. As used in the Old Testament, it is linked to the name Adam. The life of man is blood. It was the blood of Christ, his natural life, which was offered as the atonement for the sin of the world. That same blood has been glorified and now is the eternal life, which the saint drinks and by which he lives. Green, blue, brown, white, and red, all in the 12 foundations of the wall of the eternal temple of God. Chrysolite is yellow quartz. The yellow brings to mind the rising of the Sun of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Gold, which represents the divine nature of God, is a soft metal. Gold is not suitable for the foundation of a wall. Quartz is suitable for the embellishing of the foundation of a wall. Perhaps the yellow quartz reminds us that the New Jerusalem is the presence of God and the Lamb in the earth. Today, Christianity has become man-centered. What will be required in order for us to return to the concept that God is the center of the kingdom of God? Our generation is experiencing the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit to the churches, including wisdom and knowledge which have remained hidden throughout the church age. Now the Christians have lost sight of God and are attempting to utilize the gifts of the Spirit for the benefit of people. This is Antichrist. Let us fear and tremble at the presence of God Almighty. Let us bow down and worship as He draws near to the earth. Only then will we possess the wisdom to proceed with the work of building the kingdom of heaven. In the first six colors, the life of heaven is brought into the earth to liberate the natural creation. The creation itself is released into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. But in the seventh color, yellow, deity assumes his rightful place as the awesome center of the creation. Beryl is a very hard mineral, yellow, green, in color. Yellow, green points toward the divine influence upon that which is human and of the natural realm. The divine-human blend is typified also in the gold-covered wood of the tabernacle of the congregation. Truly, heaven meets earth in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Jacob's ladder, upon whom the angels of God ascend and descend. Christ's divinity is perfect and intact. Christ's humanity is perfect and intact. Yet, Christ is one person. Topaz refers to a hard crystalline mineral, probably yellow in color. Chrysoprasus may indicate a light green variety of quartz, but the Greek term employed appears to be of uncertain definition. Jacinth, as used here, is associated with the color blue. The amethyst is purple, transparent quartz. Purple is the blend of red and blue. Purple is the color of royalty. Adam means red. Jesus Christ is the true Adam of God, yet he is from heaven. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nothing can be accomplished in the kingdom of God when there is no foundation. A foundation must be exceedingly hard, exceedingly durable. A foundation cannot be formed in a paradise. It must be formed where there is very great heat and very great pressure. The foundation which God desires is formed when a human being is first born into the world, and then Christ is born in him. Two births. It is impossible even to behold the kingdom of God until there have been two births. But the second birth is just the beginning. Now Christ must be forced by circumstances into every pore of our personality. The process is not always pleasant. It requires adverse circumstances if Christ is to be driven into the human. This will not take place where there is no trouble. It is necessary that offenses come. There was no foundation in Adam or Eve. As long as we are living in a paradise, no foundation will be formed within us. God forms the light and blessing, and also darkness and trouble. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Isaiah 45, verse 7. Our present-day unwillingness to accept the fact that it is God who is the author of both the blessings and the trouble in the world, the comfort and the pain, the tearing and the binding up, is just one more symptom of the Antichrist rebellious spirit which dwells in us. God has commanded us not to fret against evil. When we fret against the evil in the world, we are, in fact, complaining against God. Is God not able to change the world? Is God helpless in the face of the sin and rebellion of angels and men? God has created the light and also the darkness. The light serves a purpose. The darkness serves a purpose. It is necessary that offenses come. As long as we believe that our goal is to go to heaven, where all is peaceful, we cannot grasp that which the Scriptures teach. But when our goal becomes total conformity to the image of Christ, the infusion and intrusion of Christ into every pore of our personality, then we desire the fellowship of His sufferings. Foundations cannot be formed in Eden. Quartz cannot be formed in paradise. And so God has created the world with its light and its darkness, its pleasures and its pain, its sicknesses and its health. God permitted Satan, the destroyer, to enter into Eden. God could have kept him out. What kind of person would you be if you never had suffered any pain? How much would you understand about God if you never had been tempted to sin? The individual who has been painfully sick deeply appreciates health, that which other people take for granted. The man dying of thirst in the desert views water differently from those who have abundance of water. God does not form foundations in Eden. He forms them in the environs of hell. This world is the valley of the shadow of death. All attempts to view it as anything other than a cursed desert proceed from the spirit of Antichrist. Man has an infinite capacity for hell and an infinite capacity for heaven. It is only as we are pressed into the deepest hell that Christ can be formed in the depths of our personality. The apostles of the Lamb experienced the sufferings of their Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, their names are in the foundations of the wall which surrounds the holy city of God. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, knows all things. Christ created Satan. He understood that Satan would sin. Christ did not cause Satan to sin, but he certainly understood that Satan would sin. Christ covered Satan with the same precious stones which we found in the foundations of the wall of the New Jerusalem. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. It appears that for every force in the universe, there must be a counterforce, or else rest and balance cannot be obtained. God created the darkness first, and then He separated the light from the darkness. Thus there is eternal balance for the light. The lake of fire remains for eternity. The New Jerusalem remains for eternity. The inner fires of green, blue, brown, white, yellow, red, and purple flash in the foundations of the wall, the place where the names of the apostles of the Lamb are inscribed eternally. Where and how are these precious gems formed? They are formed in human beings during their lifetime upon the earth, as God directs the messengers of Satan against them. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. In a great establishment, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. This is true of the kingdom of God. And so we discover that God is in control of His universe, and that all things are working together for good for those who love God, for those who have been called according to His divine purpose in Christ. God's divine purpose is to create an eternal resistance to sin and rebellion. When we gain the concept that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ so that we will walk eternally in good works to the glory of God, then we become willing to accept the world that God has created. We view each day as another lesson, another step in the creation of the foundation of the wall in us. This is the only true vision of the conquering saint. All else is self-centered and warped. But God forgives the numerous follies of the churches because He is intent on perfecting the handful of sons who are willing to suffer the totally demanding dealings of God as He garnishes the foundations of the wall of the New Jerusalem. Why is God willing to spend so much time and effort upon the perfecting of one individual? Well, God has forever in which to work. Also, one human being brought to perfection by having Christ driven into every atom of his personality becomes the matrix of unnumbered generations of human beings, all of whom are raised up in the family of God through contact with the indestructible mold whom God has so patiently formed in Christ. Thus one man, such as Abraham, after he is tried, becomes the father of all who believe that which was preached to him. As for God, his work is perfect, and we are his workmanship. The entire New Jerusalem is the kingdom of God, the point where heaven enters the earth and gives it the eternal life which is its destiny in Jesus Christ. But the walls and gates, particularly the foundations of the wall, are of the utmost importance to that which God has planned. Apart from the foundations of the wall, all that God has wrought so patiently throughout thousands of years will collapse in a moment. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Revelation 21, verse 21. A pearl is an oyster's reaction to an irritation lodged within its shell. Carbonate of lime and layers of animal membrane are formed around a grain of sand or other foreign matter. It is a slow process. A gate leading into the presence of God and the Lamb is formed within us as with great patience we seek the help of Christ in coping with the pains and problems of life upon the earth. The kingdom of God and patience go together. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1, verse 9. The various forms of quartz which embellish the 12 foundations of the wall are formed under great heat and pressure. They are hard, beautiful minerals. Pearls are made within an animal as it seeks to cope with the irritations within its environment. Therefore, pearls come closer to life than do gems. Tribulation works patience, and patience works the perfection of the kingdom of God within us. God himself is patient, and every person who is seeking the image of God is seeking a great portion of the virtue of patience. Those who are driven by Satan and by their own lusts and self-will exhibit impatience. They cannot wait. They must satisfy their cravings now. The fruit of such impatience is murder, lying, stealing, rage, and every other manifestation of Satan's nature. The way of the cross is the way of patient waiting upon the Lord. The world despises the cross, insisting on having what it wants now, with or without God. God puts his choicest saints in many prisons, causing them to do that which is not always pleasing to them, denying them the most fervent longings of their souls. The years pass by, and hope is deferred. A gate in the wall of the New Jerusalem is formed. Patience, 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 patience. Have you ever known anyone who has suffered patiently over a long period of time? Have you noticed the type of personality which is produced? Children are self-seeking and impatient. Old saints who have patiently endured much tribulation in Christ are godly in character. Little children enter the kingdom easily and happily, but the aged saint, now perfected by patient waiting upon the Lord for deliverance, is the kingdom of God. God is creating an impenetrable crystalline exterior in order to keep sin away from himself, but so that he might give his creatures access to his love and blessings, he is creating also gates formed from human beings who are willing to hang upon the cross of weakness and futility while the life of God sustains them. There are 12 tribes, and they represent every type of human personality. There are 12 gates, 12 pearls. For every individual there is a patient saint who can understand and appreciate his unique personality and open the way for him to enter into the presence of God and the Lamb. Christ is formed within us like a pearl. When people are hungry and thirsty for the life of God, they do not want to eat and drink our pride, self-will, self-seeking. Therefore, we bear in our mortal body the death of Jesus, in order that the life of Jesus might be revealed to the needy. The saints of God are hard and unyielding when it comes to sin, but within them has been developed the compassions of God, and their personalities lead into His presence. The street of the holy city is gold, refined until it is as clear as glass. The way of God is the way of refined faith. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, although it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 verse 7. Faith is our hold upon the word of the invisible God. The Christian life consists of one prolonged testing and refining of that faith. It is the faith of Christ working within us which overcomes the world. The cause of all of the problems of the universe is lack of faith in God. The love of money, of that which will bring immediate security and pleasure, is one manifestation of lack of faith and trust in God. Satan and his angels fell because of lack of faith in God. The righteous live by their faith in God. Every creature chooses whether or not to have faith in God. When an individual chooses to place his faith in God, then a pearl is begun in him. His faith is tested again and again and again, seemingly endlessly. The pearl which is being created will not be rewarded until the appearing of Jesus Christ. When the Lord comes, it is our faith which will be made manifest for all to see. Within the patient saints, there is a street of gold which has been refined until one can see through it. There is nothing left in it which cannot accept the light of God. There is no dross, no cloudiness, which hinders the light. It is the creation of God, of the kingdom of God, within us. It is the way of holiness. We are gathering out the stones today and casting up a highway upon which even the simple and foolish can walk without falling. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Isaiah 35, verse 8. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is faith which enables us to overcome the world, and thus to enter into the fullness of our inheritance as sons of God. The rewards to the overcomer are listed in the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation. The only street which leads to those rewards is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only obstacle which can prevent us from attaining the rank of conqueror is the obstacle of our own unbelief in God and in His Word. Faith is the supreme issue of the Christian life, although love is the supreme virtue of the kingdom of God. Faith is our decision concerning God's character. Either we trust God or we do not trust God. It is just as simple and uncomplicated as that. It was the issue of God's trustworthiness which was raised in Eden. Satan always is whispering doubts concerning God's trustworthiness. The virtues of the kingdom of God never are formed from human nature. They always are forged from the divine nature. Faith is no exception. We must have not only faith in Christ, but also the faith of Christ. Sooner or later, our faith will fail, but Christ's faith in God never fails. Therefore, the faith which brings salvation, which delivers us from Satan, which conforms us to the image of Christ, and brings us into perfect union with Christ, is not our own faith in God. It is Christ's faith in God, given to us as a gift. The faith of Christ is gold, but it must be refined in the fires of tribulation. Patience and faith go together. So do the gates of pearl and the street of transparent gold. There is no mineral gold in the universe which compares in value to the purified faith of a saint of God, for that gold leads directly into the presence of God and the Lamb. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21, verse 22. It appears from the Scripture that there is a glorious temple of God in heaven, but every temple serves to separate God from His creatures. God placed no temple in Eden. Rather, He walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Apparently, He was in human form, or the temperature would have had no bearing upon when He walked in the garden. Religion always places God in an ornate temple, but the hearts of men are in the garden in the cool of the day. God desires to walk in that garden, and that is the romance of the divine redemption. Religion always seeks to maintain and profit from the chasm between God and His people. You do this and God will do that. You give money and God will bless you. You fast and pray and God will give you power, and so on and on. It is Antichrist. Divine redemption always seeks to remove the chasm between God and His people until there is no temple in the city. Let us build three tabernacles, Peter cried. But God desires only one tabernacle, the human heart. The other high hills leap in vain. The New Jerusalem is the person of Christ and also of the person created in Christ's image. In each victorious saint there is a wall against sin built upon indestructible foundations, and also a gate leading to the presence of God and the Lamb. There is a golden highway of faith, but, best of all, there is no temple there. The saint has been purified until he can behold the face of God. God is becoming our salvation. He Himself is our tabernacle. He Himself is our strength, our song, our joy. God Himself is all in all to us. There is no temple. God and the Lamb are the temple. Nothing whatever remains to separate us from the love of God in Christ. All of the problems and pains which beset the conquering saint are the price which must be paid if the temple is to be removed from the city. It costs us everything in order to cooperate with the transforming work of the Holy Spirit of God as He creates us, the temple of God. But the price we pay buys for us that which no angel can possess, the indwelling of Christ in God, such that we become one in the Godhead. God eternally is incarnate in Jesus Christ. Every conquering saint becomes an eternal part of the divine incarnation. He becomes part of the fullness of Christ, an extension of the presence of God Himself in the universe. He becomes the city of God, the wife of the Lamb, the kingdom of God, the presence of God, Emmanuel, God with us. That is why the name of God, the name of the city of God, and the new name of Jesus Christ are inscribed perpetually in His personality. He has become the manifestation of God. Christ has given His glory to the church, so that the church might become one in Christ, in God. When the nations of the earth behold the saints, in whom Christ has been formed and is abiding, then they will believe that it is God who has sent Jesus Christ. The world never will believe until the temple has been removed from the city, and God and His people are one through the Lord Jesus Christ. The feast of unleavened bread brings us into the divine redemption, to speak figuratively. The feast of weeks, Pentecost, brings us into the Spirit-filled life as members of the body of Christ, of Messiah, of the anointed deliverer of the church. Finally, the feast of tabernacles brings us into oneness with God, so that our powers find their rest in God and do not become Antichrist. See Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Never before in history has the Church of Christ possessed so much potential for glory and so much potential for disaster? Never before in history have the gifts of the Spirit been so available and abundant. If we enter into Christ with our gifts, the New Jerusalem will appear in embryonic form, so that men may be saved. If we seize our divine prerogatives and attempt to gain power with God, we will become Antichrist, the arch competitor of Christ in the universe. The factor which decides between the New Jerusalem and Antichrist is the cross of Jesus Christ. If we are willing to be stripped of our divine powers and become the servant of the Lord, we will save many. But if we become a super powerful church, then we finally will be deceived into aligning ourselves with the world leaders, thinking in our delusion that we are winning them for Christ. Our prophets of today do not preach repentance to the world leaders. They attempt to win them for Christ. Can you understand the difference? Is not Antichrist at hand? Are we to invite the world leaders to make a profession of Christianity? Or are we to warn them to flee from the wrath to come and to bring forth the fruits which accompany genuine repentance? What do you think about that? The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of each member of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the divine witness to the world of the person and will of God. Antichrist is the perennial effort to employ all of the elements of Christianity apart from the person of God and the Lamb, apart from the cross of self-denial. Antichrist is the master deceiver, and many who name the name of Christ are in deception today. The primary goal of salvation is not to gain power with God, to be like God, to go to heaven, or to win men for Christ. The primary goal of salvation is to know Him, to experience in our personality the power of His resurrection, to experience in our personality the fellowship of His sufferings, to be brought into conformity to His death. See Philippians 3, verse 10. Our quest is not for the purpose of knowing of Christ's ways or His things or even His glory. We are not seeking our resurrection, our sufferings, our death. It is Antichrist which seeks Christ's ways and things, Christ's glory, and its own resurrection, sufferings, and death. The issue is that of genuine, thorough conversion. Most Christians never have been converted. They are seeking to be the greatest among the disciples, as was Peter. Conversion occurs when the religious temple is removed and God and the Lamb become the temple of the personality. In our day of greatly increased revelation and power, it will be a simple matter to fall into the trap of seeking the things of God apart from God. Jesus Christ is not seeking to give us His things. He is seeking rather to turn our attention toward Himself, so that we begin to adore Him, losing our own life in the process. He Himself is the divine center, not endued believers. Do you want Christ to possess you, or do you want the things of God so that you can become happy and successful? No human being finds rest until he dies to the ambition to be spiritually important and loses himself in the love of Christ. He does not lose himself in the love of Christ in order to gain spirituality. He loses himself in the love of Christ and becomes Christ's servant, because that is what Christ desires, because it is best for Christ and best for himself that he do so. His object in doing so is not to win others for Christ. It is to please God. That is the highest motive and the only eternally enduring motive. All else is religious striving and is self-centered. The highest form of righteousness is trust and faith in God Himself. And even that trust and faith must come down to us from God in heaven. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 21, verse 23. In the beginning, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then God commanded the light to be. God did not commence with the sun, moon, or stars. He commenced with the light. The light was and is Christ. Christ was the light of the world before the sun, moon, and stars existed. When Adam and Eve sinned, the light left the world. Darkness fell upon all people. Jesus Christ is the true and only light who must light all men who come into the world if they would be able to see. Jesus Christ is life, and that life is the light of men. Men see by the life of Christ. The life is the light. The human mind cannot understand the divine redemption, and that is why theology leads away from the truth. We can understand God only as the life of Christ is formed within us. Understanding and light are created in us as Christ, who is the kingdom of God, the New Jerusalem, is created in us and abides in us. It is doctrine which crucifies the saints, which divides the body of Christ. That which is in our heads separates us one from another. But that which is being formed within us does not divide us. In the last days, Christ will be formed within the church. When Christ comes to maturity in the members of the body of Christ, the body will flow together in divine unity. Indeed, the carnal mind is the enemy of God. The mind must be transformed, not merely by theological instruction, that can be dangerous, but by beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the tabernacle of the congregation, the courtyard was lighted by the sunlight. This typifies being saved. The holy place was lighted by the lampstand. This typifies the Holy Spirit, who guides our way through the spiritual darkness. The Holy of Holies was lighted by the presence of God, shining forth from between the wings of the cherubim of glory. This is the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, when we become one in Christ, in God. The holy city, the kingdom of God, neither is lighted by, nor dependent for its warmth and food upon, the sun or the moon. It is lighted and nourished by God's glory. Jesus Christ himself is the power of it. The world of nature is totally dependent upon the sun for its existence. The saints of the holy city are not dependent upon the sun. They no longer are of the world of nature. They are living in and by the resurrection glory of God in Jesus Christ. They do not go through the cycles of nature. They are eternal. They live by God's life. We do not doubt that there will be a sun, moon, and stars to give light upon the new earth, upon the nations of the saved. The sky would lose its glory if there were no sun, moon, or stars for us to see. But the New Jerusalem is a city comprised of resurrected holy ones. They will not need the energy of the sun, just as Jesus Christ today does not need the energy of the sun to sustain his life. Even now, the Holy Spirit is teaching us that our food, our clothing, our health, our wisdom, our energy are not proceeding from those circumstances in which the human being seeks security. The Spirit instructs us to trust in the supernatural wisdom and power of God, that he will provide every need that we have. We are not to become presumptuous, but as we look to the Lord, he gradually assumes all responsibility for our existence. The glory of God and the Lamb are becoming the light of our city. The end of the divine redemption is complete, untroubled rest in God. Please turn the tape over and continue.